So today on the program, we are introducing you to candidate for Ward 6 City Council here in Quincy. Deborah Riley has stopped on by to chat with us about herself and her campaign this year. Great to see you again, Deborah.
Good to see you again, Jill. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. And I say again because you have run for this seat in the past, right?
Yes. This is my second time around.
Second time around.
I don't know where 2 years went. It seemed to have flown by.
Right.
But I have the experience of having done this once before and come pretty close. So I'm hoping for a little different outcome this time.
Of course, right, yeah. As I mentioned, so there are four candidates for Ward 6 this year. So there will be a preliminary on September 2nd.
Yes.
That'll bring it down to two candidates.
Correct.
So let's get a little bit of information about Deborah and who you are and what you do and why this is important to you.
Oh, gosh, where do I start? So I've lived in Quincy for 35 years. I guess that seems to be where everybody starts off is, you know, how long you've been here.
Yeah, it's a typical question.
And really longer than any place I've ever lived in my life.
Really?
So although I'm not a lifer, I do have considered this my home for quite some time.
Sure.
I've been married to my husband for 30 years, my husband John, who's wonderful. And we've raised our two kids here. So we've been committed to this community for quite some time.
Sure. You're a professional in the city as well, right?
I am a real estate agent,
yes.
A little bit more discerning about the business I take on these days because I'm a little bit older and I can afford to do that. So I work with some great people. A lot of my business now is just repeats and referrals. I don't rely so much on the internet and mm-hmm. social media as much. Thankfully, when I started, that wasn't really even a thing. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, I don't have to rely on that too much. It's really all just friends, family, and referrals.
Sure.
So it's a wonderful way to do business.
Yeah. Did your kids come up through the public school system?
They did. Both of my children attended Quincy Public Schools
for
some part of it.
Sure.
And they had a great experience. I mean, Squanum School, obviously, I'm sure that's on your agenda to talk about, is in the process of being rebuilt, and it's going to be wonderful when it's done. It's a little disruptive right now, but it's going to be a great building when it's complete.
Sure, absolutely. So do you feel you have the time to commit to being on the city council?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
As being self-employed, I don't. Right. Sometimes people don't realize that with real estate agents. Although we work under a brokerage, we are self-employed, 1099 independent contractors. So we make our own hours. Mm. We don't get paid for any time off. And I'm ready to commit a significant amount of time, which it does require a significant amount of time. I mean, I do commend all of the counselors and school committee members who volunteer their time. It's a much bigger commitment than, people probably realize. So
sure.
I have the ability to do that at this point in my life, and I welcome the challenge.
Sure. So why did you run the first time, Deborah?
So the first time I ran, it was because there wasn't a challenger.
Oh, okay.
And I just believe that when it comes to democracy, that's not an election.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in my ward, there was no challenger. In a number of wards, there were no challengers. And even at large, there was only three candidates
That's
in
right.
three positions. So, it's certainly shaping up to be a much different election this time around. And I think that is wonderful for democracy. I think it's wonderful for the voters.
Okay.
This time around,
yep.
I put my name in, I think, I did not pull papers first. So there were already some interested candidates, but there's a difference between pulling papers and returning them.
That's right.
I gave it some thought and realized that I already had so many things in place from last time
mm-hmm.
that, it takes time to put in place the website and the collateral and the setting up the financial part with OCPF. So it was a little bit easier to jump in and just pick up where I left off.
Sure. Have the issues changed today since the last time you ran?
Yeah, I mean, there's some new issues, I think, but most of them are still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes is probably the biggest one I hear about as mm-hmm. I'm knocking on doors. I've had quite a few seniors, older people tell me that, their Social Security simply does not cover their living expenses,
sure.
and the big part of that being their property taxes. So that's a big one. I mean, streets, roads, infrastructure, that's always a hot button issue.
Mm.
Traffic, some of them have been going on for decades, right? But, there's some new things too that seem to have come up, so.
So you hope to focus on those?
Well, I try to take in as much information as I can so that I can form an opinion. So some things I still am gathering information on to really understand so that I can have an opinion.
Yeah. So how does your profession, you know, as a real estate agent, how would that serve you on the city council? What strengths does that bring?
Yeah, well, I think I can offer some balance there because actually one of the other big issues is the development. Overdevelopment, if people, you know, by some people's standards. Mm-hmm. We certainly need housing, but I do think that people are very understandably concerned about density. Mm. I've attended many zoning board meetings and planning board meetings, and for me, I think the biggest thing is adhering to open space and adhering to parking, because even though we live near transit, people have cars. This is not a carless community. And I truly believe in the open space. I think that all of this development needs to have, whether it's a roof deck or enough side space for, everyone has a pet. Where are they going to bring their pet?
Sure.
So there's some, understandably, some concerns there, and I'd like to think that I can bring some balance to that because we do need to build. We need to build housing in order to alleviate the housing crisis.
Okay. You mentioned taxes as a realtor also. I mean, how does Quincy compare? We hear the administration say all the time the city's right in the middle when it comes to property taxes.
Yeah, I would say municipal finance is something that is so complex that I certainly can't profess to have any expertise on it,
okay.
But it is definitely an area I'd like to understand better. Mm-hmm. All I know is when people open up their tax bills, they have gone up.
Mm.
And part of that is because the assessed values have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much that the rate has increased, and certainly there is room to increase the rate without needing a Prop 2.5 override like many communities have had to do.
Right.
But our values have gone up, so there's an automatic increase in revenue that comes from the increased assessed values.
Right, okay.
So I just know when people open up their tax bills, they're higher than they were the year before.
Right. As you know, a resident tax abatement program has been proposed. Is that something you think would be a good idea?
I would love to see it. Again, I think it's complex. From what I've been told, it's not even possible the way that it's administered, say, in the city of Boston,
right.
Where I think their tax abatement for owner occupancy, which I love the idea behind it. The whole reason for a tax abatement is to promote owner occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not eligible to investor owners and people that buy property just to, you know, turn around and rent it out and, you know, use it as an investment.
Right.
So I love the idea of increasing and promoting and incentivizing owner occupancy. And I would love to see us put some kind of program in place, even if it's modest, even if it's a $500 exemption, so that we can start to really track who our citizens are that, you know, live here and vote here and register their cars here and file their tax returns here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
what declaring your homestead is all about, you know? So, I think it's more complicated than just throwing something out there, but I'd love to see the conversation move forward a little bit.
Okay. Can we? I just selected a few issues right from your website, actually.
Sure.
So this is, you know, not a gotcha kind of thing.
Yep.
Communication. So where does that need to go here in Quincy?
Yeah. So I would say that I don't think it's improved in the 2 years that since I ran last time. So I've done what I can to, for example, the Squantum School Project, PCA 360, I think is the...
That's the architect.
The architect,
yes.
Right? They've done a wonderful job. They provide a regular newsletter. Which I receive and I then turn around and post on, you know, various sites. Nextdoor seems to be the one that is more, local.
Mm-hmm.
People pay attention to locally. But if they're providing it and we're not sharing it or communicating it out, then, you know, what good is it? But they're doing a great job of providing communication.
Okay.
So my job has just been to share it where I can.
Okay. So you feel it needs to be better at the ward council level?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'd like to do a newsletter,
okay.
A regular newsletter.
Okay.
I'd like to use Nextdoor more robustly,
mm-hmm.
if that's what people want. I'd like to do newsletter mailings. You know, the only time we seem to get mailings is when there's some very specific thing to communicate, and it always seems to be right at the time that it's happening. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not proactive. So,
okay.
You know, and sometimes that's the way communications are, but mailing then isn't probably the best forum for that. So.
Okay. In-person meetings, do you think, community meetings?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love to meet with people.
Okay.
I've loved door knocking, so I would definitely hold regular office hours, if only to give people the opportunity. And, you know, one of the things I hear from some other counselors is people don't necessarily take advantage of it. Well, you know, there's lots of things that we do that maybe people don't take advantage of, but if we don't provide the forum, then, I'm happy to sit somewhere for an hour, whether it's at the Kennedy Center or City Hall or... And if people don't show up for an hour, I mean, I've sat at plenty of open houses that people don't show up at, so that's not going to offend me at all.
Okay. One that you're no stranger to, of course, is the lack of affordable housing in Quincy and how a city councilor can address that, specifically in Ward 6.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to profess to have any magical answers to that.
Right.
You know, affordable housing is a problem, but I do think that we need to reconsider incentivizing, you know, wealthy people to build market rate housing that doesn't have an affordable component. You know, I understand that having a percentage of affordable units in a market rate building is a lot of work to administer. Mm-hmm. I've heard that from the planning department. So I can respect that, and that's why the fee in lieu of is a little bit better for them to then turn around and build some affordable housing, you know, standalone. So I would love to be a part of that conversation and a part of, you know, finding creative solutions to that.
Okay.
But I'd love to see over 55 housing. I said the same thing 2 years ago, yeah. And we really haven't, you know, advanced that at all. Something like we see at the Naval Terrace. That would be wonderful affordable housing, over 55 affordable housing, and even over 55 market housing. I think there's a market for that. People who would sell their homes and move into something that offered them amenities and things that were appropriate for. I don't want to say seniors, because I am now in that category. I have joined the senior center in both Quincy and Milton.
Oh, very good.
So I think seniors is kind of an unusual term.
Okay. How do you feel about tax breaks for developers? That's been an issue that's come up in the past.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to, I would say that incentivizing billionaires at all levels of government, I don't see how that trickles down to everyday people. So, mm-hmm.
Okay. Transportation is something we touched on briefly. Do you think public transportation is adequate right now?
I would say that I think Mr. Eng, who is the chair of the T now,
yes,
and I can't remember his first name, but
Philip.
Yes, I would say that certainly as somebody who my son was taking public transit into the Back Bay 2 years ago. And it was horrible. I do think we've seen some improvements.
Okay.
I think he's doing a great job of trying to, you know, really tackle what is long-standing deferred maintenance and things. So there's certainly more room for improvement. I am thrilled that the water transportation from Marina Bay has been expanded. That was something that I, you know, had certainly supported as well 2 years ago. I'd like to see it become year-round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that there's a grant in place to, you know, start to look at the dock that's there.
Yes.
I don't think it's adequate for winter because it's not sheltered and it's slippery and all of that. So, you know, I think we've seen, you know, in order to give some credit where credit is due, I think we've seen some improvements in transportation.
Okay, very good. Seeing as we're on the topic of traffic and traveling, the Long Island Bridge is an issue that just does not go away in Ward 6.
I know,
right?
I know. It's and it's still such a heartbreaking situation that the whole reason for the bridge would be to provide services for, you know, people who are suffering from addiction.
Right.
And, you know, it's really hasn't changed. There is no facility out there that is waiting for a bridge. And I respect that for those of us in the Squantum community, the infrastructure heading out to that can't support a large volume of traffic, both for the construction of that facility and the clients and the employees that will have to have access to that. So, I don't have an answer, but I would say that it's a legitimate concern that the bridge is not the only problem.
Yep.
Cuz the bridge is not the bridge is not from Squantum. The bridge is from Moon Island to Long Island,
right,
of which both are owned by the City of Boston. So the City of Boston is fully entitled to construct a bridge there. They just can't feasibly do so from without access through our neighborhood.
Right. Okay. So fair to say you would oppose building a new Long Island Bridge at this point?
I do. I mean, on my website I did update a little bit that I oppose it as a sole means of access.
Okay.
Because again, if the only way to access that for both Moon Island and Long Island is through our neighborhood, it would just be a tremendous volume of traffic once it's up and running and providing the services that are needed. I would like to see there to be a ferry or some other means to do that. I've been told it's probably not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need to reconsider what exactly, and I don't think that Boston has been very forthcoming as to exactly what their plans are out there. They just keep playing the addiction card and saying that that's the whole reason that they need the bridge out there. So It's a very large parcel of land that could provide all kinds of uses over the years, for decades to come. So
okay.
I think when we're making decisions that are going to impact the next generation and the generation after that, I think we need to be very respectful that that's a big responsibility.
Okay. Speaking about your website, Deborah, looking at it this morning, one of the issues you bring up is transparency. Where do you think that's lacking in the city right now?
So one of the things I was able to do over the winter months, because I'm just a little bit quieter for real estate agents, is I started, and as a result of having run the last time, is I started attending almost every board, committee, commission meeting at least once, several times. And what I found was a lot of inconsistency with regard to adherence to the open meeting laws, with requests for public records. So I do think that there's a lot of improvement that needs to happen with regard to those two areas.
Okay. When it comes to the budget, do you think there's enough transparency with the budget so folks can understand how their taxes are being spent?
I think that, unfortunately, a lot of the information we seem to get is from other sources. Mm. I mean, there is some information on the website, and there's a group that plotted some numbers from that website, from the city website. And, you know, we get a lot of information from the media, from Patriot Ledger and such. So from what I understand, we have $1.6 billion in bond debt. Our bond rating has been downgraded. And I think those are certainly areas of concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bond debt and the bond rating, you know, will affect our ability to borrow more money. We have an underfunded municipal pension, you know, the city portion of it, which for those of us that have had 401ks, it's sort of the employee match, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The employees are getting their money taken out of their paycheck every week or 2 weeks or however they get paid. And then the city is responsible for funding the match, if you
right.
will. And, you know, we're behind on that again. So I think that is an area of concern.
Okay.
Bond debt, from what I understand, is a big part of the budget.
Sure. So when it comes to, I mean, obviously one of the main roles of a city councilor is voting on the budgets, yay or nay. Are there areas that you would all want to look at more closely?
Yes, I'd like to see a little more spirited debate among the councilors.
Okay.
I do remember a time when, you know, people like Joe Finn and Kevin Coughlin and Brian McNamee, who, you know, was the predecessor in Ward 6, and I'm trying to think of who else, Dan Raimondi, you know, there was some spirited debate that you can go back to some of your old archives on QATV and see some really spirited debate. And I think that, you know, right now in an effort to be polite, there isn't enough spirited debate.
Okay. Can we talk about some citywide issues? One
sure.
in particular that is kind of right up your alley is the proposed lease extension for the Quarry Hills Golf Course.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take too much digging, Googling me to find out that I have been opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of reasons, I think that the thought of extending a lease for what will nearly be a century, because it's hard sometimes to weed through all the rhetoric around that, but the lease is a new lease. It is a rewrite of the current lease. So the old lease would legally be done, and the new lease would take precedence. But the term is extending onto the 32 or something years, another 50 years. So it's almost a century on top of the couple of decades that the operators have had control of it. So I believe that there should be an audit. I believe that there should be public access to that space. And, you know, I've certainly attended some of those meetings and been on the record with that.
Sure. So do you think the way it's currently proposed then is not beneficial to the city?
I just think that it's, I think that there needs to be more public access, and I think that there needs to be a little bit more oversight. I think I would like to see an independent, you know, commercial real estate attorney independently representing the city on that.
Okay. Another issue that you're very familiar with was the issue of salary increases, both for the mayor and for city councilors. How do you think that whole issue was handled, and how do you think it resolved itself?
Well, I don't think it's resolved itself, has it? So that wasn't an issue last time. That seemed to have coincidentally come up right after the election. And I do think that both the mayor and the councilors are deserving of increases in compensation for the work that they do. I think that, like with a lot of things, I take the position of I don't have a problem with the what, more the how. Okay. And I do think that the how on how those raises were done, and even prior to the election was a lot of the city employees and department heads and stuff. I do think that there could have been more transparency, mm-hmm. a little more lively debate. And so I do think that we need a redo on that one.
I do.
I think we need a redo, but I do believe that I don't even remember how much the city councilors are paid, like $28,000 a year or something like that. I mean, that's an exceptionally low compensation okay. for the amount of work that they all have to put in. And certainly the mayor's deserving of a raise. I don't know why, you know, regular raises weren't introduced, you know, in the nearly 20 years now. But there's no doubt that the salaries are far too low.
Okay. The vote also, as you're aware, tied future increases to the Consumer Price Index. Do you think that's an equitable way to do it?
I don't know why they did it after approving such large raises.
Okay.
So, you know, it just seemed to be, again, a little bit, the order of operations there seemed a little bit unusual.
Okay.
So I don't understand what happened behind the scenes or how that all came about, that mm-hmm. that order was introduced after the raises were approved. So mm-hmm. I'd need to understand that a little bit better to weigh in on it.
As a councilor, if elected, would you accept the current salary as it's proposed?
I'd like to just see it all reconsidered.
Reconsidered.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. I mean, again, I do believe that raises are due.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard that question posed. You've posed that question to others. I don't know what you mean by accept. I guess if I'm elected and the compensation includes the increase, mm-hmm. then I would probably find a way to defer that until it's resolved.
Okay.
Whether it's donating it or, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really refuse it, right? So I don't know what my options would be, but I would stand behind the belief that the whole thing needs to be redone.
Okay, all right. And another citywide issue you're familiar with is the issue of the proposed statues for the public safety complex. How do you feel that process was handled?
Yeah, so that's another one that it's not so much the what, but the how it
okay.
was done. It was a little bit of a surprise, seems to everybody, mm-hmm. including the councilors, and you know, I think the people who are going to occupy that building didn't seem to know anything about it, and now they're forced to sort of have an opinion or not.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that was a building, that was a project that ran over, and, you know, they had to go back to the city council for more funding. So, you know, to think that you kind of found $1 million is a little bit concerning. You know, I'm not an artist. I don't have an artistic bone in my body, so I can't really weigh in on the value of the art, but I think that I would have liked to have seen more of a committee, you know, more public input in all of the public art that we've seen go up in the city. And, you know, there's been talk of that, but I don't know where that stands.
Right. So there, as you're well aware, there's a lawsuit now pending. Do you think that's a good way to go to address this?
Well, being in real estate,
yeah.
I've learned, and I tell people all the time, court is never the best way to resolve mm. an issue, and the city seems to always have a number of legal challenges mm. that they're either taking on or they're defending. So my personal opinion is, you know, whenever you have a dispute, it's always better to try to resolve it in another manner. But you know, I can see where that seemed to be the only avenue, and so far it's been effective because mm-hmm. it's put a pause on it.
Okay. You mentioned at the beginning the Squanto School, so Ward 6 specific, right? So you think that's a good project?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my kids went through that school and generations before them. You know, the building was tired.
Mm.
It was really two different buildings, one ancient and the other mid-century modern, I guess, which is the part that's going to remain for a little while they do the construction. It's impressive to see it unfolding. I mean, these temporary classrooms that are being brought in. And like I said, the communication has certainly been very good. It's a little more destructive and the upheaval around that area. But my hope would be that what they're doing is they're really tackling what they can in the summer while the students are out of school. And then obviously they're probably going to have more restrictions around the area when class is in session. So the renderings are beautiful.
Mm.
The design seems thoughtful. The community was engaged. I know certainly two of my neighbors were on the committee, you know, because they were involved with the PTO and they were, you know, they spent a lot of time. That's, again, volunteer time. They spent a lot of time giving input to that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I know that they listened to was the the Squanto symbol that's in the front from the original building is going to be retained. Right. So, you know, it just seems to be a really well-run project, I will say that.
Okay. Any other Ward 6 specific issues you'd like to talk about?
I don't think so, okay. Other than, you know, communication and, let me see.
Please do.
Yeah, check my notes
check
there.
Notes. We want to make sure you get all the information out there. This is important, Deborah. This is your chance to tell folks why is you're running.
One of the things I did note is the new treasurer, Molly Smith, recently released a list of uncashed checks that were issued and has posted that, sort of like the state's unclaimed monies.
Yes.
And I think that's great. I mean, it clearly shows that she's dug into some really old records, some checks going back to the 90s. So I've certainly shared that online and encouraged people to check the list. And I think we should continue to do that. I think, you know, maybe all the names need to be published in the Quincy Sun or something. I'm trying to think. I will say that, and I know that some other candidates have mentioned this as well, about training with Mass Municipal Association.
Yes, yes.
I have actually completed open meeting training with the Attorney General's office online and some of the free and publicly available stuff with MMA. So I feel like I've done what I can to become really, you know, well-versed on open meeting and public records.
Okay.
And I, you know, not so much the ethics stuff. I mean, real estate agents, we get a lot of ethics stuff anyways.
Certainly.
But that's an area that I'd want to really make sure what my obligations are and, you know, what I need to do on that.
Okay, so you'd be an advocate on the council to make sure that this council adheres to those regulations.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I've been kind of doing that behind the scenes,
right.
Quite frankly. But, you know, the laws exist for a reason. So in the case of open meeting law, you know, notices need to be posted 48 hours in advance minimum. That's the minimum standard. So so that the public has an opportunity to be aware of it. And, you know, agendas need to be detailed enough so that the public knows what the business is that's going to be discussed. You can't just say new business, old business in executive session. You have to really be a little bit more detailed on that. So, that's an area that I've already tried to inform myself so that I can be better prepared to serve the people. And
okay. And
the other thing I'll mention, Joe, is that, you know, for me, and probably some of the other candidates as well, I have no greater ambition for political office. I'm not using this as a stepping stone to anything greater. I'm not looking for a municipal pension. I've already, you know, planned my retirement with the employment I've had over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So my job, my sole goal here is to just serve the people of Ward 6, but more importantly, all of the people of Quincy, because there are 9 people on the city council and all 9 votes matter.
That's right, yeah. Going forward, Deborah, for the campaign leading up to the September 2nd preliminary, what's the game plan?
Well, now that we know we have a primary,
right.
it's sort of ramped things up a little bit. And I'm actually taking a couple of days off because it's been a busy couple of weeks. And I'm hoping to sort of get a little bit of my energy back.
Sure.
And then, yeah, I love door knocking, as I said. I will probably hold an event. I was going to hold off until after Labor Day, just because I know people are busy, including the people that are supporting me. They have, you know, other commitments, but I'll probably hold an event. I'm definitely going to door knock and do some mailings and stuff like that. But it's really just voter by voter, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what the turnout is, because typically these preliminary elections where there's no mayor's race, there's no governor's, there's nothing, typically the turnout is pretty low. But I know Quincy Votes is doing their part to try to, you know, get the vote out, they say. And, you know, I hope people show up. Our democracy requires that people engage in the process.
Sure. We should mention there's one change in Ward 6, actually, right, this year.
Yes, that just came up.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So we knew that because of the construction of Squantum School, it might not be feasible to vote there.
Right.
And I had been asking the question, and I know the clerk's office was hoping that we would be able to vote there for the preliminary election in the media center, because school doesn't start till the day after. But, you know, it was determined that was not going to be possible. And in looking at how the construction is around the building, I would say that for seniors and people who need handicap access, it's going to be challenging. So the city council voted last night to move it to the Nickerson Post. And I know the clerk's office will be providing the required notification on that to let the voters know.
Yeah, that's just one precinct, right?
Correct. Ward 6, Precinct 5,
yes,
which is the one that voted at Squanum School, which is all of Squanum and a small portion of North Quincy.
Gotcha.
Which, when I knock on those people's doors, they were saying they used to vote at the Kennedy Center.
Oh.
Now they're voting. So for them, it's a little more disruptive,
right.
But it's all good. It's all good. We'll adjust, and it will, I'm sure, be temporary. I'm sure we will go back to Squanum School when it's open and beautiful and all of that.
Sure, so. Sure. Website you'd like to mention for folks?
Yes, yeah. My website is electdeborahreilly.com.
Okay.
And I've been updating content, as certainly this interview will be put up on there. And
great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Welcome.
It's always a pleasure.
Likewise.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.